again of Isaiah and chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to start reading. We're actually going to start reading at verse 27. We could go to verse 26, but we're going to go to verse 27 this evening and read down the last number of verses of this wonderful chapter of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, encouragements for daily living. And we're looking at studies in the book of Isaiah. And tonight we're on the Lord of our daily strength. And Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 tells us, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us this evening. I suppose this evening we're homing in particularly on verse 31, but we need to get a bit of a context of where we're going this evening, because in these particular verses, we have words of consideration, we have words of caution, we have words of comfort, and we have words of challenge. The remnant of the children of Israel, still in captivity in Babylon, and they believe that God has forgotten them. It tells us in verse 27, "My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God." It's as if in their minds God has forgotten them. I wonder, do you ever feel like that? I think we all have. There's times we maybe question within our own hearts, where's God in all this? Why am I in this situation? Has God forgotten me? And that's exactly the way the remnant who were still in captivity were feeling. And here is Isaiah speaking to them. And he's giving them some different words of, as I say, of consideration, of caution, of comfort and challenge in these particular verses. The words of consideration we read off in, first of all, in verse 27 and verse 28. He asks questions. Why sayest thou? And then Isaiah reminds them why they carry the names of Jacob and Israel. You see, Jacob, well, found God to be faithful, even with all his troubles. God then changed his name to Israel. And there from Israel, a people who God has a covenant with. I took you out of Egypt. I promised you the land. I have been with you all the way. God had not forgotten his people. Actually, it was actually the reverse in many ways, because what happened and continued to happen, and we read of it right throughout the scriptures, of how Israel came back to the Lord, then turned their back on the Lord, then came back to the Lord, then turned their back on him. They always thought that they were better, that they were able to do things on their own strength. And in many ways, God had to remind them that that was not the case. Why has the Lord forgotten me? Feeling hedged in. There they were in the land of Babylon, especially those who were still there. They were in the land of Babylon. Why has the Lord forgotten me? You know, Job felt like that. And we read off in Job chapter 3, verse 23, he had lost everything. And he says these words, "Why has God hedged me in. And that's what it feels like whenever we're in despair. We're nearly at our wits' end. We feel weak. And then in verse 28, Isaiah then uses these words. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? He had to say the same words back in verse 21 of chapter 40 as well. And they're reminded that it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. In verse 26 of our chapter, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. In chapter and verse 28 here, we read of him being the eternal God. We read of the Creator, the God who doesn't tire, and that he's beyond all their imaginations. There is no searching of his understanding. And yes, it might be hard for you to understand why you're still in captivity in Babylon. But remember, God, the one and only true God, is in control of all things. And we mightn't understand the times whenever we are in despair, the times whenever we are struggling, the times whenever we feel weak. God is still in control. And he knows the bigger picture. And he understands. And there's no searching. We might not know what God's thinking, but he knows exactly what we need. You see, they had wavered in times gone by. And here we have weaved into our words of consideration this evening. Whenever Isaiah is asking to consider the great God of Israel, there's weaved in a word of caution, a hint of caution. Don't be tempted as before. Our God is nothing like the gods that you have, that there are in Babylon. You know, in Babylon they had many gods. I don't even want to mention the names this evening, but just to give you an idea, there was a god of the highest heaven. There was a god, a national god of the Babylonians. There was a dragon goddess. There was the god of weather and storms. There was a god of scribal arts. There was a goddess of love. There was a god of wisdom. And a god of war. And there was plenty of others. That was just me tipping the iceberg as such. They had all gods for all different things. Praise the Lord. We have one God. And he sits upon the throne. And he reigns over all. And so Isaiah wants them to realize, look, forget about all those things. Forget about all those gods. Forget about all those statues, all those heaps of clay, all those images made out of gold. Forget about them all. Remember that there is one God, the God of Israel. He's the one and only true God, and he's the one that you and I this evening can consider in all things. So in these words of consideration and these words of caution weaved into the background there in verses 27 and 28, we have a wonderful picture of our great God. But then in verses 29 and 30, Isaiah brings words of comfort. We have a God who wants to help us, who's willing to help us. And here we have Isaiah bringing some beautiful thoughts that their strength was only to be in the Lord. And we read of that in verses 29 right through to 31. And with three very different types of strength that are mentioned. Now we have to remember the context, first of all, that it was written in here where, as I mentioned numerous number of times, there were a number of the children of Israel who were still in captivity. And they were getting weary of their captivity. They were having to wait. And they were struggling with the waiting. You know, there are times whenever we struggle, whenever we get weary, maybe in our jobs. Do you ever notice how pressurized things have got in these days? I was at the doctor's this morning, and I was just sitting in the wee hallway, and it was in between all the doors and just everything going on. And just in the doctor's surgery, if I heard a door open and somebody passed me once, possibly in the short time it was there, happened at least 50 times. Busy, busy, busy. People going, same person passed me maybe about a dozen times. And going from room to room, here, there, and everywhere. Work has got very pressurized in this day and age. Family life has got very pressurized in this day and age. Especially if we have young people and children in our families. Whenever they have to face all the things that this world throws at them. Home life can be very pressurized. The place where you're supposed to rest can be very pressurized. And can be very weakening to the soul. What about your health? Our health can make us feel weary for whatever reason it is. And there's lots of reasons that we can look at why we get tired in our own situations. So Isaiah now starts to describe the strength, or lack of it, that they were experiencing. And in these words of comfort, he applies understanding to their weakened state. Whenever we look at verses 29 and 30, we see one type of strength that Isaiah brings out. And that's expended strength. It tells us here in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Verse 30 tells us, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Weariness, then weakness, then total collapse. Moses, whenever he was speaking to the children of Israel, he reminded them back in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 17 and 18. And this is what Moses told the people about those who had expended strength. He says, remember what Elimelech did unto thee. By the way, the children of Israel were traveling. They had come forth out of Egypt. When ye were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Elimelech thought he was going to just go in and there's a group of people there I can just pounce on. They're the ones that are the tiredest, the weakest. The children of Israel had been marching for days. And Elimelech came in and took those out who were just at the back end of the queue as such. And there's a challenge there as well that we must watch out for those of us who are weak. Those of us who struggle. Those of us who are getting older. Don't want to say anything about Sam tonight, but I might as well put the name in there again. Sorry, Sam. But those of us who are getting older, we have to watch out. We have to be there for those and help and encourage. Because there are those who put so much time and effort into things, even within church life here. You know, over the last 3 weeks, I've been taking the Bible study. And people may say, what's the pastor doing in those 3 weeks? Well, I can tell you now that the pastor has had more meetings in the last 3 weeks than he usually has. Actually, he's probably maybe tripled or quadrupled the number of meetings that he's had in the 3 weeks than he usually has. So there's a weariness there. There are those who work week in, week out, putting things together, doing things. There's a weariness there. But whenever we come to the Lord, we get strength in knowing that we're doing it for Him. The fact that the Lord needs to give power and needs to increase strength shows that there's demands and service. The Lord Himself knew the weariness of service as well. Whenever the Lord Jesus walked this earth, we see His humanity in so many different ways. Even whenever the lady with the issue of blood touched the hem of His garment, He knew that that power had left Him. We read of times whenever He still needed to rest. King David knew the feeling of being faint whenever the Philistines once again attacked. 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 15 tells us, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. He was struggling. And Ish-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. See, not only can demands of service make us weary or make us faint, or can tire us. But there are times whenever these things happen that we find ourselves weak, and that's whenever the Lord, or whenever Satan, sorry, steals the blessing. Whenever we need the Lord's help more than ever. There's many a time whenever it's come around to the midweek meeting, and I've known because I've heard all of you say this. Whenever we come out to the midweek meeting, so Wednesday evening comes, we've come in from a hard day at work. It has been very stressful. We're tired. We've maybe even been working outside, maybe on a site. And the cold air has been about us all day, and we're thinking, whenever I get into that warm building tonight, my eyes are just going to close over. But you make the effort. And you come out. And the Lord blesses you for doing so. We need to be careful with the demands of service in the way that not only can they make us weary and tired, but sin can also make us weary if we allow sin to enter into our lives. Samson had been given much strength, and he had much power given to him by God. Yet sin crept in once, and what happened? It ended up that he lost his eyesight. He lost his eyes. He had taken his eyes off the Lord and he had looked upon Delilah. And as a result, he lost his eyes. He lost his strength. And he lost his service for God. You see, what we're doing over the last couple of weeks is that we've been looking at encouragements for daily living. We've been looking at the Lord as our daily focus. We've been looking at keeping the Lord as our daily thoughts. Tonight, we're looking at keeping the Lord as our daily strength. And whenever we do feel weary, there are times whenever a little hymn comes to mind. Couldn't get away from this during the week, so we're studying. He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, he multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm, everlasting availing, the Father both thee and thy load well up there. His love has no limits. His grace has no mercy. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Praise the Lord. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Verse 27, verse 28, we have the words of consideration. Then verses 29 and 30, we have a word of comfort. Then in verse 31, we come to the words of challenge. And we move on to a different type of strength. We move on from the expanded strength to the exchanged strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting takes dedication, doesn't it? Now, you might not think this, and you might not believe it, but there is evidence. And this is a story that's not well known. I don't even know whether Aaron knows this story or not. But if you want to go through the Belfast Telegraph, going back into the late 1980s, you're going to be very surprised to find the name Nigel Bruce winning a running competition, okay? I used to love orienteering. Map reading, you used to go into the forest, and on this particular evening or day, it was Tollymoor, and I was with some of the school, and we went to, and I didn't win this race, by the way, okay, but you will find my name in the Belfast Telegraph at one stage in the 1980s, having won orienteering competition. But anyway, that's just to tell you there's proof there. But this particular day in Tollymoor, there was an orienteering competition, and I was full blown in there to win. So out we went running, and I had my map, loved map reading, had my map, racing through the forest, getting the marks on my card that I needed to get as I went from point to point as such. And I was running through the forest, and Literally, I was running through the undergrowth as such. It wasn't on a path. I was running. I was trying to be smart and take a shortcut. And the next thing I knew, now, there was a friend of mine who was very close behind me, okay, out of the school. He was very close. We were good friends, and he was very close behind me. So what actually happened was I was bombing along. I was giving it my all. And the next thing, I fell into all I can describe is I would like to say it was a crater created by a nuclear bomb, but it wasn't probably that big. But anyway, I fell into a hole. And I mean, it was a big hole, but I fell into it. And down I went, and I went down in such a way that I had hurt myself quite badly. Certainly, I had sprained both my ankles, so you may guess I was struggling to actually get out of the hole. And I had to shout to my mate for help, don't stop, don't be running down here, and all that sort of thing. And he see me, and he says, what's happened, and are you okay? And I said, I just wasn't able to move. I wasn't able to get myself back out again. And probably at that time, I was probably feeling as if I was so sore that I'd hurt myself that I'd probably broken something. But anyway, make a long story short. Okay. He went to get help. What I didn't know on that particular day was that the Mourne Mountain Rescue were training in Tullymore Forest. And very shortly after he left, he came back with about 20 other people with hard hats on, ropes over their shoulders, the full works. So they thought that I would be a good training lesson. And so what they did was they literally had to put a rope onto the tree and actually shimmy their way down. That's the sort of hole that had fallen down into. Okay, they shimmied down, they put me on a stretcher, they lifted me back up, and they brought me back to safety. I had to rely on them. I had to exchange any sort of strength that I had, and I had to leave it with them to help me. Needless to say, here I am today, and needless to say, I don't think I orienteered after that again. But that's another story again too. But there we are, just a little illustration, and something you found out about me, certainly not in shape to do it now, but there you are, you've learned something about me this evening, and there's a little illustration about how I had to wait for help, how I had to then rely or exchange just any strength that I had onto the stretcher and allow someone else to carry me. There's one illustration of how we need to rely on the Lord for daily strength. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That little word, renew. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That little word has tied into it the word of change, or the description of change or exchange. And here we have the eagle mentioned as well in the verse. And as we read through commentaries, there's a thought that's expounded here. Absolutely beautiful. The word renew, which is associated with a process where an eagle exchanges its old feathers for new ones. Its old feathers have become worn out. You see, the eagle is one of the strongest birds. It's top of the tree, as the saying goes, and there it is. It's one of the strongest birds, but it needs the best equipment. It needs the strength. And if its feathers aren't in prime condition, what it does is it exchanges them. It has a process for exchanging them so that it can have the strength that it needs and so that it can fly to the phenomenal heights that it flies to. It needs strength. And we need strength if we want to soar for the Lord. In our daily desire to be strong in the Lord, we now learn the supreme secret to the Christian life is exchanging all that we are for all that He is. All that we are for all that Christ is. And the secret of this exchange in life for the Christian is wrapped up in the little word wait. And in waiting, we have three just different little concepts where waiting is concerned. We need to have dedication. Being dedicated should not mean that we have an attitude of rebellion, but rather of submission. Rebellion resides in our hearts. And it evolves into impatience and restlessness and frustration. But submission to the will of God, there's nothing but sheer delight and restfulness if we wait on the Lord. We need dedication. Then we need prayerfulness. This is where the exchange is made, friends. As we breathe our need to heaven, He answers with His help. And we know this through personal experience. Whenever we cried on to the Lord and He heard our cry, we confessed our sin. And what did He do? He imparted cleansing in our lives. And it's now that we need to learn that we own our weakness. That we are weak. But He is strong. And He'll infuse His divine strength upon us if we wait upon Him. Psalm 96 and verse 6 tells us, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. If we are to know what it is to have exchange strength and the transformation of our character to what Christ is, then there's a secret here as well, because it's a secret that each one of us need our eyes open to. Because we need to be in His sanctuary. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Neglect His sanctuary and the strength is gone. If we neglect our time with the Lord, our strength goes. If we neglect our time in this sanctuary, where is our strength individually? Where is our strength as a fellowship? We've all heard the story about the pastor who went out to see one of his congregation who hadn't been attending for a long time, and the member turned around and said to him, he says, oh, I can worship the Lord just as easily as I can at home, just as easily as I can in church. Why would I need to go to church? And the pastor gets up and he lifts with the tongs from beside the fire. He lifts a hot, burning red coal from the fire and sets it on the hearth. And it wasn't too long before that red, burning coal started to go gray and cold. You see, the sanctuary presents both public and private devotion. And we need to be where God wants us to be. waiting upon him. Patient with him. And the third concept is to wait, or for to wait, is an expectation. There's no point in waiting if we're not waiting in expectation. There's no room for doubting. James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. We don't want to be like the wave. We want to be strong in the Lord. We want to be strong in our faith. And strength has so many connotations where our Christian lives are concerned. But Isaiah reminds us in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15, where the Lord says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. The quietness of prayer and the confidence of expectation bring an answer to spiritual strength. So the word renew, we learn the supreme secret that the Christian life is exchanging all that we are for all that Christ is. And the word wait means that there needs to be dedication, there needs to be prayerfulness, and there needs to be expectation. So we've had expended strength. We've had exchanged strength. Now we have employed strength, because verse 31 says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And here we have a picture being painted into something that is exciting, something that is for us to look forward to where the work of the Lord's concerned. Daniel 11, verse 32 tells us, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Busy knowing the Lord, busy waiting on the Lord, busy working for the Lord. Maybe we don't enjoy employing our God-given strength. And that's simply because we don't wait on him. Imagine that day whenever Philip, the Lord had brought Philip to the side of the road. He heard the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot. He didn't loiter in fulfilling the king's business. He needed the Lord's strength to perform the task that lay ahead, even just to catch up with the chariot. I have this image in my head. The beginning of the Superman films, you see this little boy who's flying across the field, and he's all the wheat's getting out of the way because he's running so fast, and he's waving at the kids in the train as he goes along. He's only a child. I have this image of Philip just having the Lord just giving them the speed to catch up with the chariot. Maybe the chariot was just trotting along. I'm not too sure. But, you know, here God gave Philip help. He brought him in the position, and Philip used his time wisely for the Lord. And that's what we're to do. We're to wait upon him. We're to be employed by him. Moses herded sheep for 40 years, waiting God's great call. Christ spent 40 days in the desert preparing for his great work. And you know, whenever we find ourselves in times of delay and waiting, and you know, we're not always the most patient people. Quite often, because we're not waiting and because we're not being patient where the Lord is concerned, we find ourselves weak. You know, that's a time, whenever we find ourselves waiting, that's a time for us to have that deeper fellowship with God. Pray for strength, because we're going to need it. Because whenever the Lord employs us to do a task, we're going to need His strength. We're going to need to be ready. Just as the eagle, it tells us in verse 31, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because they waited on the Lord. He renewed their strength. And that's where we need to be this evening. Each week we've been putting a little verse together of a little poem. We started off on week one about our daily focus, and we lambed on to our daily thoughts, and this week we have our daily strength. May I be daily focused, Lord, on what you desire of me. May my sight be clear. May I know you near. O Lord, may my focus be on thee. My daily thoughts, O Lord, are not filtered the way they should be. Please help me find peace of mind so my thoughts are founded on thee. Renew my daily strength, dear Lord, that I may be all that Christ is. May I be strong. May I tarry long, so that my strength is not mine, but His. Our focus needs to be on Him. Our thoughts need to be founded on Him. It shouldn't be our thoughts. It shouldn't be what we think. And it shouldn't be our strength. Because He provides all for us. Daily. Afresh. If we'll only wait on Him. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to you this evening.